Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, another night.
Well, how did it go for you today?
Were you able to recognize any just blatant blessings that was just standing there waiting for you today?
Did you see God's glory in anything today? Maybe just trees. I walked out of my place this morning, and the first thing I saw was this beautiful orange and red leaves on the trees. And a lot of times here in San Antonio, we don't get to see that. The trees kind of stay green most of the year, all of the year. So it was just a bright smile, and it was like I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, good morning. And then I was able to, as I was driving, I could see that the moon later on was just a bright orange, and it was almost touching the earth, it appeared to be, although we know that it wasn't. And it was just gorgeous, and I was just like, praise the Lord. I just thank you, Jesus. And we just got into a wonderful conversation today, he and I. You just have all of this glory. So what about you? What was the highlight of your day? Did you take any of the suggestions with you? I pray that you did. Did you see something that was just magnificent, that you just knew it had to be God? That's what we're looking for all week long, just to try to turn our eyes to see God's beauty. And sometimes this world just puts a gaze over our eyes, and we just kind of get a little hazy, and we just overlook some of the things. It's just like a hidden word, a hidden search, and you're looking through trying to identify the objects that are there, but your eyes may not be trained to see. But that's what we're doing today in God's world, in this world that we live in. We are actually training our eyes to see the beauty of the Lord. Hallelujah. And maybe in some person today that you saw all the negative stuff, but today you were able to identify some good things, something beautiful about that person. You know, I've just been I went to another level. I'm so ecstatic about what he's doing in my life, in my ministry, and just how it just flows out to each one of you. And my emails just overflows with your joy, and it just gives me joy to not just surround myself with your love. This is all what God is about. And so as he's taking me to another level, I pray that you too are reaching higher and higher. And I don't want to stop here. I want him to keep on going and going and going. And it's just even a little simple thing. Just one of the housekeepers at work tonight, just as she was passing by, I just felt the desire to give her something. And I have these big, beautiful red and white canes on my desk, and they're not really canes. They're twisted, big, long lollipops, and they really get your attention because of their size and everything. And I have them, been giving them to my team, and he was, the Holy Spirit said, give her that, give her one. And I immediately, the flesh started counting them to see if I had enough to spare, and he said, stop counting and give her one. And I immediately said, oh, Holy Spirit, you're so right. And I gave her this, and I said, Merry Christmas. And she lit up. And she said, oh, I've been looking at things on your desk every night, and I've just been wondering, where does she find these? Oh, these are so wonderful. I've been wanting these so long. And I just like, whoa, just look at God. Look at God. So, and it's even some of the smallest things that may mean not too much for us, but may mean so much to someone else. So if God says, say this to that person or bless them with this, bless them with that. I already know I love blessing people. So, you know, I have to be careful because if I have something on and you really want it and you admire it and the Holy Spirit may tell me at any time, give it to them. I give it to them. You know? And then there's times that you're admired and nothing happens. And well, I guess it's mine to keep, you know? Unless I so choose to give it. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, I really, even when I have to, my flesh try to jump in front of the answer, he always spank it down and say, no, you know what I'm saying. And I thank God I'm at a level that I can say, you're right, Father. I know what you're saying. Let me be obedient and do what it is that you're asking of me. And I promise you, oh my goodness, the joy that you will receive is just, it's unexplainable. What tells us that eyes have not seen the things that he has prepared that he is wanting to do for you. He's true. Ears have not heard. We can't even imagine all of the wonderful ways that he wants to do favor in our lives. Oh, the word is so true. Believe ye in the word from the beginning of it all the way through to the end. God will stand by his word. I'm so glad that God is a God that doesn't lie. I'm so glad that God is a God who looks after our needs, even though that we have done many faults. But he can look beyond our faults and still provide us with our needs. I'm so glad that God is a God that will put his desires in our heart so he can remove all of that yuck and junk that we store in our heart and we put in there and say that this is my desires. Because he knows the desires of most, 9 times out of 10, what we have in our heart is not going to help us in any way. It's not going to prosper us in any way. It's not going to edify the kingdom in any way. So thank God that we serve a God that can move that junk out of the way and direct us to a point that we say, God, I want my desires in my heart, Lord. I want your desires in my heart. You see, I had to find out that my desires was holding me back. My desires would knock me down. Now, I saw other people live by their own desires, and it seems that they're prospering. It seems that they're getting all of the things that they seem to have in their heart that they're desiring. But my reward is not just here. I'm setting up for an eternal reward. So he says, let me get you, it took me years to get that path that fighting against my desires, and I didn't know who I was fighting against, but I was really fighting against God's desires. I thought I was serving the Lord, but he said, it's not. You can't truly get to where I'm trying to take you because you're hung up on your desires. You're trying to do things the way that you see somebody else do it. But I've individualized you for me, and so your desires is going to come directly from me. What you're going to get, you're going to have to go back and train somebody else who has got all of their heart's desires that they've stored up. You're going to have to train them when all of that stuff that rust is rust away, when all of that stuff fades away, when all of that stuff is still not enough to give them joy, still not enough to bring them happiness, still not enough to give them a good night's sleep, still not enough to build them up when they're torn down. Ha, he said, When I put the desires, my desires in your heart, thank you, Lord Jesus. When I put my desires in your heart, I will change you from the inside out. He said, that's why you see so many people that have their heart desires given to them, but they got a nasty disposition. They don't feel like they really need the Lord. They feel like they can do it on their own. Now they say, I know the Lord or whatever. So they're worshiping whether they go to church or if they have a Bible, or they'll read a Bible, or they'll buy a tape. May never listen to it. They'll buy a book, may never read it. But they just to say that it's there, just to show you that it's there. You know, they'll find any other reasons than not to be in worship. They'll look down on their noses at the church. And they'll say, oh, it's the people in the church. But they can go talk to their neighbors, talk to their friends, talk to the ones on their job who are sin have sin in their life just as well. So their food, they're covered. It's like they're walking around with a blindfold on every day. And then these desires get more and more, and once they get something, one thing, it only keep them occupied for a little while. Then they got to get something bigger and brighter and got to do another thing and then something else and something else. And if you notice in their lives, they're constantly changing. Nothing is ever going to be good enough. It's going to always have to be changing. They're going to always have to get something else to be. There's always going to be something else. And we look at it and say, you know, oh, they're just, you know, they just love toys, or they just love that. Really and truly, people, they're trying to fill that void. They're trying to get that feeling that God can give you when you allow him to place his desires in your heart. that's where I'm at right now. I got it. Hey. So I'm just so excited, so excited. These desires that he put into my heart, it leads me in his righteousness. I don't have to keep coming back and being unsatisfied and satisfied, yo-yoing back and forth. Hallelujah. Ups and downs, there's trials and tribulations. Yeah, we're going to have those. We all face those, whether we're living by our desires or God's desires. That's just something that goes on as a part of life. So no biggie about that. We know these things, right? But when you're ready to go and increase your faith, you start looking for something different, okay? So let me just stop for a moment. I get so caught up because I'm so in love with the Lord, and he is so in love with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, God. Our scripture tonight is going to come out of the book of John in the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5, starting at verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24, and it reads, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has lived in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is it just me? And I know I'm on fire, but don't just want to bring you up out of your seat? See, every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Confess what, you may say, Minister Bond? They're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Even the ones who don't believe, every tongue is going to confess. And I don't even care if it's the dead ones, but even if it says those that are in their grave, those who've done good, they're going to rise and they're going to live again. And those who have done evil, they're going to rise and they're going to live again in condemnation. They're going to be condemned. We all are going to spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. So do not be amazed at any of the things about eternal life. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears the word and believes will have eternal life. Hallelujah. And will not be condemned. Amen. Will not be condemned. Praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're determined sometimes when we are ready to increase our faith, when we're ready to progress in our spiritual growth, we have to get that determination to make our spiritual progress. You know, no longer content with just a little faith. Are you? I'm no longer content with that. And I don't mind ministering and teaching people with little faith, no faith, to get you started. But you know, just like a wind-up tour, you want to see it go a little farther, a little farther, and a little farther. Don't stop now. So wherever you're at, don't stop now. We're trying to together remove all of the blindfolds from our eyes. We're removing our gaze from ourselves, and we're starting to put it on the Lord, step by step, day by day. And for each of you that are faithful broadcast listeners, thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every one of them. I just thank you as we started to, together, we're reaching for greater faith. Together, we're reaching for greater faith. Now, we start by becoming students of the Bible. Each and every one of them. By becoming students of the Bible,
I tell you all the time, make sure you have your Bible because that's your sword. That's what you need to fight this battle with, is this word. So as I, your preacher, your teacher at the time, as I minister the word, it is me then an open vessel that God comes and speaks to you, his children. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. So let's go ahead and invite him. Send out that invitation. He's already here. But let's invite him to just come and just pour into us and fill us up. You may have a day today that you feel like you just gave it all that you can. Right now, let's ask him to replenish you. Replenish your faith with his faith, your joy, your spirit. You need to be stronger right now. Let's go ahead and get that strength, shall we? Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we come thanking you, Jesus. Thanking you for showing yourself to each and every one of us in all kinds of different ways, but revealing who you are. Thank you for taking control of our lives today. We thank you for coming and living inside of us. We thank you for all of the things that we've said and done that was not pleasing to you, dear Father, that your mercy and your grace have covered us and given us another chance. Oh, we thank you, dear Father, for forgiving us of our sins. And now we invite you to come and live inside of us, to come and dwell in our spirit, to come and fill us up with your strength where we're weak. Build us up where we're all torn down, dear Father. Dear Father, renew our strength and our faith. Make that we may not faint. Thank you for using me as a woman of us, dear Father. Thank you for taking us to another level, dear Father. We want to go higher, Father. Thank you, Jesus. With you, we will continue to grow as long as we stay with you. You said if we search for you, the harder we search, the more we will find. You will reveal to us. And we're in your presence, dear Father. This is where we want to remain. We thank you for the safety of our family as we travel up and down the dangerous highways, byways, streets, and roads. We thank you for our preachers and our pastors and our leaders. We thank you for our children's safety in our schools, whether in college, anywhere, all the way from high school, middle school, to even to kindergarten. We thank you for their safety. We don't take it for granted, Father. We ask blessings upon our leadership in our cities, in our states. Dear Father, in our White House, we ask you to touch each and every one of the hearts. Touch us as a people in all of the states that make up these United States. And as you touch our hearts, lead us towards prayer towards our leaders in all of the departments of the White House, that they may come together and not divide. Dear Father, that anything that refuses to come under your will, may it be fight out. And may we be able to see and separate it. Hallelujah. And now we ask that you just do what you do best. Talk to us, Jesus. Speak to us and comfort us like no one else can all around the United States. We say thank you, Jesus, for your country. Thank you for your world. All creations make you the word of God. One day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now let's get ourselves built up. Let's get built up, increasing our faith. And as we get around to understanding how to keep ourselves into a wise man, we don't want to be caught up in unwise reaction to criticism, because there are times when you're going to get criticized. I mean, I understand that no one really likes, you know, personal criticism. But sometimes it seems that we go out of our way to help people or encourage others, but also to be met with maybe harsh words or accusations. And too often when that happens, we put up that protective shield, and immediately we just start dealing with it in our own ways. We have a couple different ways that we actually can minister to ourselves. And we can look at ourselves and say, this is how I deal with personal criticism. We have to identify that. We have to identify those ways. And as we're reading and becoming students, beginning as students and becoming scholars of the word,
you know, we have a compelling desire to develop a greater intimacy with him. We want to get really in there with him. When we feel his love, we feel his presence, we hear his direction. Hallelujah. And we want to be conformed to Christ's likeness. Hallelujah. We just want to be able to say, not just that we're Christians, but we're living and we're becoming conformed to Christ's likeness. Now, second characteristic of deeper trust is a heavy reliance on the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by the habit of looking to him before making decisions. When we're looking to God before making decisions, that just proves that our characteristic is coming, becoming in a deeper trust. We're trusting the Holy Spirit more. We're relying heavily on the Holy Spirit's direction. Before we go and make that big buy, that purchase, we're interested to know, is that what you want me to do? Am I doing the right thing? Don't let me go by my flesh getting excited about something. Is this what you would have for me? We rely on the Holy Spirit. And it is evidenced by our habits of looking to God to make our decisions. And then we demonstrate the willingness to wait on God and trust what he says. You know, the salesperson says, you're only here today. If only at this price today, but I need to wait on God, is what you're feeling inside. I need to know what God says about it. So if this is your last day, if this is your last day, then it must not be for me. If this is your last day, this is the last day for that price, I can't stop you from changing your mind, but I know that the Holy Spirit can direct me on which way he wants me to go. I'm just not going to buy it because you say that I should have it. I need to ask my father's opinion on this. Hallelujah. We need to demonstrate the willingness to wait on God and trust what he says. And not always do what we wanted to hear, but trust what he says. You know, the Lord commended the centurions for their strong conviction. Trusting in the person, character of Jesus. You know, the soldier believed Christ's words were all that was required. And God said it, they believed it. They believed his word was all, all that was required. And there was an even higher level of faith. A faith where unbelief is cast out. And only trust in God remains. You want to go there? You want to go there? That higher level of faith. You want to go there where unbelief is cast out and only trust in God remains. You know, Abraham displayed such flawless confidence when the Lord commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. You know what I'm saying? Little faith would never have cut any wood. Little faith would have just sat in your house, sat in your tent, sat in your dwellings and just cried or thought about it and said, I'm just waiting to just fill in path. I know this is not what the Lord is saying. I'm not doing that. God, I'm not hearing this. So love faith would never have cut down any wood or prepared and saddled a donkey to make the trip. Love faith, no. But great faith, believing and trusting in God, great faith. Though it may have bawled about, you know, putting Isaac on the altar, great faith would have traveled as instructed. Great faith. Great faith would have been believing in God to work things out. Great faith. Complete faith was after Abraham did. We all have our own situation that we're dealing with as far as showing and proving and to see our growth and our faith. You may think that you're one place in your faith until you're after something is after you, and you may discover that, no, I'm not there. I've been talking about this, but I don't have the faith I thought I did. Increasing your faith. The more we increase our knowledge of the Word, the more we'll believe the Word, the more we'll become more intimate with the Lord, and the more we will increase our faith, the more we will be able to trust in our God that He's going to be in control regardless. Did you start preparing the wood, cutting the wood? You start selling up your donkeys because you trust that God is going to be in control, that God is going to work things out. That's complete faith. You see, Abraham, he believed what the Lord had promised him, yet carried out the divine instructions. He believed that his seed was going to be more numerous than the sand, pieces of sand on the ocean. But he said, if I do this, how would that happen? But he still decided to carry out the divine instruction, even though they appeared to contradict God's pledge. If I kill my son, Isaac, sacrifice Isaac, how will this dream that you promised me ever come true? But I know. I have complete faith that however it works out, this is in you and I trust you. So even though it may appear to contradict God's pledge, complete faith moves forward knowing that God is in control. You ever been in a car with someone and they're going in one direction and you know the destination, but they seem to be going totally different than you probably were about going. And you're like, where did they get one? But you may not say nothing because you may be riding with someone else. Or you just have complete faith that they're going to get you where you need to go. And you sat there, and even though you may have a couple of doubts every now and then, you still have faith in that person. And you arrive at your destination, you say, hey, they made it. I just learned something new. My faith grew a little bit in them. It happened. We have to use that faith with the Lord. Hallelujah. May complete faith be the prayer and aspiration of your heart tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Complete faith is what I'm asking you to pray for. Complete faith. May it be your prayer. May it be something that you aspire to have. The aspirations of your heart. And the Holy Spirit is always ready to help you reach that next level of faith. Always ready to help you reach that next level of faith. You know, Jesus spoke often about the roles of prayer for the believer and the church. He even guaranteed his presence when two or more of us gathered in unity to pray. What did he say? He also promised to act whenever believers speak to God in the authority of Jesus' name. In the authority of Jesus' name. He also promised to act when believers, when you actually respond and speak. Hallelujah. When you speak in authority, in God's authority of Jesus' name, Jesus taught that God is to be focus of our petition. So whatever we're petitioning, God is to be the focus of that petition. And he showed us by example that the basis for ministry is communion with the Father. Isn't that what we've been speaking about in the last episodes? So the basis of our whole ministry, each and one of us have ministries, right? We should be helping someone else get into the family of God. So let's go back and make sure we have that. He promised us to act. That means do something. That's an action word, to do something. Stand on our behalf. Slay the slayer in our behalf. Whatever we as believers speak to God in the authority of Christ's name, covered by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, but covered by my Father, the Savior, when we speak to God in the authority of Jesus' name. And then he tells us that God, again, is to be our focus of all of our petitions as we bring our petitions to him. That God is our focus. We have to be in communion with him. And we want God to release his power, and we do, over all of our situations. That's why we're crying out to God. You know, that's why we stay on our knees in prayer. That's why we tune in every night to the broadcast. We want to learn more. We want God to release his power into our situation. Amen? And it's important that we do two things that we're going to speak about tonight. The two that we're going to speak about tonight is first, we must depend solely on Jesus' merits and his meditation. See, our new lives as children of God began when we acknowledged that we were helpless, right? So as we acknowledged our helplessness and we accepted Christ's substitutionary death, he substituted his life, gave his life for us, for our sins. So as we acknowledge our helplessness, God will nothing without you, and then we accepted Christ's substitutionary death on our behalf, which is Romans 5, that's what it tells us, and then he acts as our mediator, and he reconciled us to the Father. So he gave us a right to come back into communion with the Father. He acts as the bridge between God, who's never sinned, without sin, and us, who are born into sin. He acts as the bridge and brought us back together as one puzzle piece. So we have that right to the tree of life. We have that right to all the inheritance of our Father. Hallelujah. And we want God to do mighty works in us, and not just in our lives, but through us. We're asking him to come and live and control us and live through us. If we want him to do those mighty works that we keep dreaming about, the mighty works that he keeps putting his desires in our heart, we must continue in that same spirit of dependency on Christ. The same spirit of dependency. The knowing that he's the bridge that brings us back together. Knowing that he's going to be whatever we need. We got to depend on him. Solely, we must depend on him for everything we need. Hallelujah. And then secondly, we must separate from all known sin. Sometimes this gets hard for us here on this side, doesn't it? But we must separate ourselves from all known sin. Let's just say it like this. At the cross, when our Savior paid our penalty for our transgressions, sin's controlling power over us was broken. So sin's controlling power that was held over us was broken. It was broken at the cross. Whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, it was broken. He still gave his life for you, whether you've accepted or not. The power of sin just controlling over you as a stronghold was broken. Now it's up to you whether you accept the gift, unwrap the present. Because his presence, his presence is inside. All you have to do is invite him to come and live inside of you, to come and share the gift with you. He knocketh on your door of your heart. Will you open it? The knock is there's no knock on the outside. He's not going to force his way in. The knock is on the inside of you. Only you can open that door. Your mama can't open it for you. You can pretend, but your daddy can't open it. Your spouse can't. Your kids or your mom, only you can open that door. So that sin power was broken at the cross. However, its presence remained in the world. The presence of that the powerful sin, that sin having power, having control over your life, it remains in the world. The presence of that sin power remains in the world, and it also lingers in us because we are in the world. So it also lingers in us. Gossip, that's a lingering of it. Laziness, gluttony, selfishness, they're commonplace appearances so that sin controls. In our closing, I come to remind you that the remedy for every sin is to confess it to God. Turn away from that attitude, turn away from that behavior, and receive God's forgiveness and cleansing. Confess it to God. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins to God. Turn away from that attitude. Turn away from that behavior. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's cleansing. He uses clean vessels. Doesn't mind that you start out all bumped up and bruised and dirty. He will clean you. All you have to do is receive his forgiveness. Receive his cleansing. He will clean you. He uses clean vessels. And if we're going to make big requests of God, we must come to him with clean hearts, clean hands, that is solely on the merits of God's Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. Clean hearts and clean hands. You said, but I think I have some dirt on my hands. Come to him and ask for forgiveness. He will clean your heart. We come to the end of the broadcast, and we want to give you the opportunity now to come and open that door. Open the door to your heart. Allow him to come and generate his love through you, to build up your faith, your strength, give you a new meaning of life. Here we go. Just repeat these words. God, I believe that you are the creator of all creation, and that you love us so much that you refuse to live without us for eternity. So you gave us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And in return, he gave of his life for our sins. He mediated for us. And now he has broken all of the sin control. And we have a right to come and be with you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I now open the knob on the inside of me, and I invite you to come and live inside of me and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. It's important that you reach out and get someone on your corner to pray with you. I'm going to be praying for you. You'll be praying for me, okay? And we'll see you next broadcast. Good night.